My great aunt Marge was born in 1914 in a tiny rural town in eastern Iowa. She was the daughter of German-Irish farmers. Her parents valued education, so they sent her to the big city of DeWitt, population 1,500, for high school. After graduation, she moved to Chicago, went to work, married my Uncle Ole, and when she was 28, had a daughter of her own, Mary Christine. Now, Marge was a curious mixture of farm and city. She could bake a dozen different pies without a recipe, but she insisted that pie goes stale the next day. So if you didn't eat it within 24 hours, she'd throw it out. Butter should never be refrigerated because it loses its flavor. And milk must be served in a pitcher, even if it came out of a carton instead of a cow. Marge was always smartly attired with iron dresses and matching gloves and tasteful accessories. In Chicago, she went to jazz clubs and Cubs games. She played excellent poker. And she started every day at her kitchen table, laying out a tea towel and then dealing her prayer cards out to then pray them silently one by one. Her extended family didn't know what to make of her. When Mary Christine was 6 months old and not yet sitting up, Marge knew that something was unusual, and she took her to a specialist who confirmed that Mary had Down syndrome. In 1943, the standard approach was to institutionalize people with intellectual disabilities, since it was thought that they could not contribute to society. They were sent away so that their families could move on and have more children and move on. And that was what most of Marge's family expected. As farmers who raised livestock, they had a rational fatalism about disabilities. But that was not what Marge and Ole did. They decided that Mary would be their only child. They learned everything they could about Down syndrome, and they found a special school in Chicago that would welcome her. Marge went back to work to pay the tuition. Over the years, Mary Christine learned to care for herself and how to help with the housework. I remember that she could not carry a tune, but she sang all the time. She followed sports closely and had very strong opinions about Major League Baseball. And she kept her mother's high standards. When she visited our family, if any of us slept past 8 a.m., she would wake us up, shoo us out of bed, and then quickly make the bed so we couldn't get back in. She was the light in Marge and Ole's lives. When I heard on May 7th that Jean Vanier had died at the age of 90, all of these memories came back. You may know who he is. Jean Vanier was the founder of L'Arche, an international movement that creates communities for people with intellectual disabilities, the core members, and those with typical abilities, their partners. And they created this community for all of them to live and work together in love and learning. Vanier began the first community in Trolley, France, in 1964. And there are now more than 10,000 people around the world living in 160 communities in 38 countries. One is here in Capitol Hill, one is in Tacoma, and one is in Clinton, Iowa, another tiny eastern Iowa rural town very near where my great aunt grew up. The spiritual core of L'Arche communities is the 13th chapter of the Gospel of John, from which we had our reading today. It is the story of Jesus' teachings at the Last Supper, and it begins, "Having loved his own who were in the world, Jesus loved them to the end." At the Last Supper, Jesus gets up from the table, takes off his outer robe, ties a towel around his waist, and kneeling on the floor, washes the feet of his disciples. He tells them, "Just as I have done for you, you must do for each other." And then a little later, he gives them the new commandment, "Just as I have loved you, you should love each other." The love that Jesus mandates, in Greek, agape, goes far beyond that tender affection that we might think of when we think of the English word for love. The hallmark of agape is not sentiment or feeling, but an unconditional honor and esteem and a deep desire for the well-being of the other. It wells up out of a recognition of the other as beloved and whole. And agape is offered for its own sake. There is no sense of reciprocity. And this love is saturated with the grace and power of God. Jean Vanier writes that it wasn't until he had lived in the L'Arche community for many years before he really understood what it meant to be human and to love. He had originally created a home for people with intellectual disabilities in order to care for them. But over time, he realized that they had become a community of friends, each of them the cared for and the carer. He discovered that alongside the diagnosed weaknesses of the core members were tremendous strengths: selfless love, abundant joy, wonder at creation, true listening, and gratitude. I remember when I was a child, whenever Mary would visit, she seemed to gravitate to whichever of us was sad or anxious, and she would sit with us silently, tapping her pencil on her knee. And there was a feeling of peace and compassion that was abundant. And beyond what Jean Vanier says he learned from others and about others in the L'Arche community, in a deep way, he says he discovered his own weakness and vulnerability. He was able-bodied, sure, but filled with self-doubt and frustration and impatience and fear. These were the qualities that got in the way of experiencing the love offered to him and being able to love in return. He realized that every person is a mixture of strength and weakness, and to be fully human is to recognize, accept, and offer our vulnerabilities and our weakness to each other. This is how we learn to love ourselves and to love each other just as they are. And it is the heart of belonging. Think about your experiences. Haven't you found that sharing frailties and difficulties with someone is somehow more heartening than comparing success and strength? At the Last Supper, Jesus gets up from the table. He lays down his outer garment, that symbol of the shell that protects us. And by laying it down, he reveals his inner vulnerable self and serves his disciples by washing their feet. He is keenly aware of what is coming, and he releases Judas to do what Judas will. Then Jesus says to his friends, as we heard today, "Little children, the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. Love one another as I have loved you. To glorify means to make visible the presence of God. So Jesus is saying, see, my darlings, the presence of God is here. It is made known in me, and it will be made known in you. Be a sign, a witness to my love in the way that you love each other. Jean Vanier said, loving someone does not mean simply doing things for them. To love someone is to show them their beauty, their worth, and their importance. It is to understand them, to understand their cries and their body language. That is how Marge and Ole loved Mary, and it is how she loved everyone she met. And the glory of God shone round about them. May we make God's presence visible too, in the way we love each other through our own vulnerabilities and by loving the vulnerabilities of others. Amen.